As I was saying that, I was really hoping that I remembered the right text to start out with. That'd be pretty bad to get up here and preach and not know what scripture I was preaching on. It's not like I haven't studied that for the last week, but there's something about getting up in front of people that your mind just kind of goes blank for a quick second. But and I was thinking about those words to that song. I mean, how if you can't get up and preach after a song like that about how our God is just so great, I mean, I shouldn't be preaching. The Lord is the one who gives us everything that we need for life. And we've been looking at that the last month or so. And as you know, Pastor's getting back, so we'll kind of bring all that to a close. And I want to look here in Philippians chapter 4 again. Last week we were here with rejoicing. And today we're going to just keep on going on there in verse 5. It says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." The Lord is at hand. Let's pray and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I just pray that it would be our desire to look to you for all that we do, Lord, for all that we believe, for all the principles that we apply in our life. And Lord, would we do it rightly and justly and perfectly, Lord. I just pray that you'd help us to look to you, to praise you, to follow you in our life. And Lord, what joy and peace there is when we do that. And Lord, I just thank you so much for allowing us to be here. And Lord, I pray that you would bless during this time. Lord, would you be here working in our hearts? In Jesus' name, amen. It can be easy for us to have these tangents in life, or these hobby horses, you might say, or to have these principles or things that we enjoy to do and take them to an extreme. I know it can be easy. We talk about this sometimes in MBBI about how this is, no matter what we're teaching on, somehow it always comes back to this topic. And we've talked with the guys about how what the difference is between brother Custer and myself when we're teaching. And we can have these ideas that this is the main focus in our life, and we kind of can almost go to an extreme, or that's just something that we enjoy talking, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. But in our life, sometimes we can take principles and go to the nth degree, further than what God intended for us to go with in these principles. Or in our life, we can take things that have no problem with them. Maybe it's a hobby, or maybe it's a enjoyment that we have, or whatever the case may be, nothing wrong with it, but we take it past where it is feasible or right to do. And in here in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 5, it's talking about this idea of moderation. That word, it means to say to be in moderate, or of keeping a due means between extremes. Basically, don't go extremely that way or go extremely this way. Just do it as it's intended, to stay away from the extremes. The Greek word there, it's gentle, tolerant, fair, good, fitting, meet. It's done how it's supposed to be done. And David Brown here, in his commentary, he talks about it's the idea of it is fitting meets reasonableness of dealing. What does this mean? What does it mean for us? If this is something that here we're told, let this moderation that we have, it says let your moderation, so the way that we are, it means that we need to know how to act righteously or rightly while still being proper or gentle in our dealings. It's the idea of not going whole hog or all the way on one principle while ignoring another principle of God's word. You know, we like I said, we sometimes get this idea that the Lord taught us some principle and we'll just go all this way and bring it into our actions, but while ignoring other parts of the Bible. I believe that's, in many ways, what this is talking about. I think of the idea, this is, I was thinking of examples and illustrations, and there's so many, and we'll talk about a few tonight, but in there's ideas of thought, of keeping our thoughts moderate, or the idea of keeping our actions tempered. You see the word temperance throughout the Bible. We'll talk about that. But this one's kind of benign, you might think. But for a while, the Lord was really working in my heart about how I preach and the idea of making sure that it's it's all Scripture, and very much Scripture, and not bringing any kind of outward man's wisdom to it, which is, you see all through the book of Corinthians about, you know, not the wisdom of the world or fleshly wisdom. And for me, for some reason, I thought, I just need to try not to be too alliterated. You know, to keep away, that's man's wisdom, right? But we have a beautiful example of alliteration in Psalm 119. So I'm ignoring other principles. I'm going, oh yeah, I just need to keep away from anything that's manly wisdom in my preaching, when there's a clear example of God, of something that's inspired by God that was alliterated. So it's this idea of being moderate, of being controlled in how I take the principles of God's word. I think of, go ahead and turn if you would to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. How do I use the principles, the truths, the doctrines of God's word? How do I apply them to my life? How do I use them? Am I controlled in how I do that? And that's what we're looking at tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 25, it says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." That word temperate there, I was doing a big study to really get into this idea of moderation and temperance. And we see some ideas of how meekness works in with that. But temperance, it means moderation, particularly habitual in regards to indulgences or excesses. It's that idea of self-control we see from the Greek word there in regards to holding or withholding. Do I use this principle here, or how much do I use of it? And it kind of brings that idea of how we know temper, how with tempering metal. You know, to bring it to a moderate state, to the most useful state, to the where it is the strongest. That's the whole idea there with this temperance and moderation. And if we're going to strive for the mastery in our Christian life, we need to be temperate. We need to make sure that we are rightly dividing the word of truth. And in verse 8, turn over if you would to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. It says here in verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This idea of it being acceptable, of it being perfect or complete or well-rounded, of being the man of God or the woman of God that God wants us to be, and taking all the principles of God's word and letting them intermingle so that we are using each one of those principles correctly. So how do we do this, or what would this look like? If you turn over to, well, we don't need to go there. Another example, Proverbs 26, you can look if you'd like. But it talks about, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." And we could take that verse, and any time we hear someone being foolish, we just walk away. We're just not going to even talk to them. And that's the principle that we just hold on to, right? But what does the very next verse say? It says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." See, there's two principles there, and it's up to us being careful with, and using, allowing the Lord to lead us as to which principle and how to use that principle, and in which way are we supposed to do that. James 3:17, let's turn over there. James 3:17. You know, often we think of temperance and the idea of being temperate, or and that idea to just the very much extremes of life. You know, we're going to be temperate. We're going to stay away from things like alcohol or some of the great worldly pleasures. But it's so much more than that in our life. James 3:17, the Bible says here, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And you might be looking at that. Where in there does it say anything about being temperate? Or where does it say to be moderate? Well, that word right there, gentle, is actually the exact same Greek word that is used for moderate. I hadn't really thought of gentleness as that way, as just being moderate. But when you really study that word, it means to be mild, meek, soft, bland, not rough, harsh, or severe, as a gentle nature, temper, or tamed. You see, the wisdom that is from above, when we are taking the truth of God's word and using it rightly, it's not going to go to these far extremes when we use it correctly. There's going to be other principles, and when we put those principles together, that is wisdom and applying it to our life. And it comes from God's word. So we can kind of see what it is to be moderate, to be tempered. Well, what is it like if we're not tempered? Well, in some ways, it can be being overbearing in something. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. To be overbearing in a principle or a truth or a lifestyle or just something in our life that we put too much of ourselves into or take too far in a truth. I think in Proverbs 25, in verse 16, it says, "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomited." We need to be careful about how far we go in, whether it's an indulgence or whether it's a truth or whatever the case may be. I think of a good example for this would be Calvinism. It takes some good truths and takes them to a degree so much further than what God meant for them to be. We need to be careful, especially about applying logic to truth. If this is true, then we must take it as far as I think it should be. See, the focus is on me instead of how far God's word says that I should be do this or that, or how this principle from God's word applies to this that kind of shows me how I should be following God. I need to put it according to his word instead of my logic. We need to be careful. How do we do this? Well, we must compare Scripture with Scripture. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Rightly dividing the word of truth. Do we know what God's word says concerning whatever we have going on in our life that day? Whatever principles that God has shown us, do we just kind of take it at face value and say, "Oh, I understand that. Well, I should study more about that. Let me see what God says throughout his word about how I should apply that to my life. How should I take that verse that God has shown me in my devotions per se?" Let's say we're having our devotions in the morning. God gives us a principle. God shows us something from his word. Do we just leave it at that? There probably was a reason that God taught us that lesson. Why not study it a little bit? Oh, no, my Bible reading's done for the day. I've had my devotion. No, let's get into God's word and say, how can I use this in my life? How can I do it correctly? Because we may be leaving a lot of information from God's word on how to use that principle or how God wants to be that to us or how he wants us to live our life just on the table. Because we didn't take the time to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Another way that this can show itself, if we're not being moderate, if we're not being temperate in all things, is that we're going to be unstable. Turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That double-minded, it's two-spirited or vacillating, going from one extreme to the other extreme. And I know that this can be maybe more of a thing that really is more prevalent in us when we're younger. I think of the days in Bible college or you know, just after I was called to preach, or even as a teenager, you know, I'd get excited about something the Lord was teaching me, and I just run with it. Without really looking at God's word, I just kind of, God taught me something, let's just run and go, right? And I would go from one extreme, and all of a sudden I see another verse, and I'd run back. Oh, I got to run back this way. And it's kind of that idea of vacillating back and forth. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 4. Turn over a few pages. Verse 14. Ephesians 4, 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, if we're not careful, not only will we be vacillating in our mind and going to these extremes, but that's going to make us prime fruit for someone to come in and deceive us with. As Brother Burns mentioned a few weeks ago, you can teach whatever you want, really, from God's word if you take them out of context. And there's people that want to do that. And if we are already susceptible and being like children and going from back and forth and being double-minded and not grounded in the truth, knowing how to rightly divide the word of truth, we're going to be deceived. We're going to be tossed about. They're lying in wait to deceive, because Satan doesn't like it when people are excited about applying truth. And there can be a lot of zeal for God that is disrupted because we won't take the time to study God's word and know what it says and how to be moderate and how to take the principles of God and combine them and truly follow God's word. It's something that's commanded by God. In Matthew 5:48, it says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." That perfectness, we know it well. It means to be complete or well-rounded, completely equipped the way God wants us to be. Joseph Hall said, "Moderation is the silken string run through the pearl chain of all the virtues." We see throughout God's word how he talks about these different virtues that we're supposed to have. But we're supposed to have all of them. Right? Not just be strong in one and kind of let all the others slide. We're supposed to be complete, perfect, meet for the Master's use, ready for him to use us however he should please. That's going to take some work. Psalm 119, 128 says, "Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. How do we get this? We get this from God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In verse 1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Turn over a few pages to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Well-known verse. How do we get this moderation? How is it attained? We get it from God's word, through studying it, through finding out what God's word says. Of 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." We need God's word in our life. It's what we've been looking at the last few weeks. Just getting into God's word, knowing what it says. But don't be satisfied with just the little amount you get. Seek more. Seek how that's supposed to work. Study God's word. Let the word of God perfect holiness. But it's not just through that. We also get it through preaching. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. We've been here the last few weeks. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 11, it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Why would it be through preaching as well? Because he's preaching the word of God. It's just another time for us to hear the word of God, but we're hearing it preached now. And that's where we have to humble ourselves to listen and take that word of God that has been given to us and apply it to us. Why? So that we can be perfect. Colossians 1:28. Turn over there. Let's turn over there as well. Colossians chapter 1. And let's actually start in verse 27. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." You see, we can grow in perfection and being more of a complete man, of learning how to be temperate and complete and moderate in all things through preaching, because Christ is being preached. And I can say that that's what's being done here. Christ is being preached. Let's listen to it and grow more and more temperate in our life. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. In verse 14, he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you." Not only do we hear it, get this moderation through studying God's word, through hearing preaching, but it also comes through seeking Christ's correction. "Lord, if there's anything wrong in me, will you show it to me? Will you show me how to do this?" Psalm 25 and 8 and 9 says, "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." Never assuming that I just have it all right. Always willing to understand that I may be wrong. If we live that way, it's a really peaceful life. Because when you hear something that's maybe not according to how you think it should be, you're not going to attack that. Because, oh, I should consider this. Is this the way? Is this what God's word says, or is it not? So instead of attacking it, now I'm going to God and finding his perfect will, his perfect way. Instead of just instantly going against whoever that is or whatever is being said. That's meekness. And the Bible says here that when we are that way, God's going to judge us. Guide us in judgment and teach us his way. What joy and peace there is when we do things God's way. Never assuming we are perfect, but making sure we are applying the truth of God's word correctly in our lives. Let's turn back to Philippians chapter 4. It says here, not particular that we're supposed to be moderate. Obviously, that's the part of the intention. But it says here, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." You see, it's not just to be known, but it's to be seen. That means it's something that we need to be applying in our life. We can't just know the truth, we need to do it. We can't just be hearers of the word, we need to be doers of the word. It should be seen by others. Yes, we need to know what's right, but we should be applying it to our lives. And that word "know" there, it means not just to be known, or it needs to be well acquainted with, to be understood. This means that we should also not just know how to apply it to our lives, but we should be able to explain to others how it can be applied in their life. Why we believe what we do. Why we are doing what we are doing. We should be able to explain that, not just because, oh, it's a good thing to do. No, but God's word says this, and I can take you there. Should be known. Turn over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, we were there earlier. James chapter 3. But the wisdom that is, in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. That idea of easily to be entreated is that it's easily persuaded. It's easily taught. It's easily shown. I really loved what Brother Burns said on Sunday about how the word, the truths of the Word of God are simple. That's when we make things so complicated, you know something's wrong, just like he said. We can do that. We start getting things, we're looking at a verse and it starts getting all so complicated because we're coming into it with our thoughts of how it should be versus just taking God at his word and comparing it with Scripture and Scripture. When we do that, things just jump off the page because we have the Holy Spirit and we're reading his word and we can understand, oh, that makes sense. But the times that I know, at least in my life, when I'm studying something and I just can't get anywhere, it's when I'm coming into it with an idea of how it should be. Not humbling myself to ask God to show me. God's word is easily to be entreated. And when I then have it, when I show it to people because of God and his word, it's easily understood. But like he said, we can't make people understand. That comes from the Holy Spirit. But it's easily to show them when it's wisdom from above. It needs to be seen and practiced, but also known. And it says there in Philippians chapter 4, that it's for all men. For all men. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Let's not be men pleasers. Let's not pick and choose where we'll live for God, where we'll apply these principles, where we'll be in control of ourselves. Let's be that way wherever we are. Why? Because then it's real. It's not just being put on for a show. Just like last week with rejoicing. We don't rejoice and be glad in the Lord just because people are watching. That does nothing. The same with this. Let's not live for Christ. Let's not live and be a complete man just because people are looking at us. And I need to make sure that I have all my ducks in a row. You know, that idea. I hope that as we're going through this, it won't seem like it's something that as I'm living my life, I have to be looking at this, making this, and kind of making sure that I have just the correct formula, that I'm living just correct. What does the very next verse say? Be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care. Just live according to God's word. Just study it. Find out what it says and do it. It's that simple. It's when we start putting ourselves and trying to kind of take that principle and meld it with what I want to do, or meld it the way that I take that principle and do it the way I want to do it, and maybe take it to an extreme this way or that way when it's not how God said to do it. As we close, let's look over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. He said there in Philippians, let your moderation be known unto all men. But then he says at the end there, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Why does he say that? Let's look in 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've been given all that we need in God's word so that we don't have to live like the world, so that we can live in God's glory. In verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. All these things that we've been talking about recently. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. You shall never fail. And whatever we do, we won't fail if we're going to God's word and applying these truths. Making sure that we're taking with us the knowledge of God. Making sure that we're doing it willingly, that we're getting into it, that we want to apply it to our life, that we believe that God will do it, and that God's way will work. If we add to that knowledge, if we add to it temperance, if we make sure that we're doing it correctly, if we make sure that we're not going to the extremes, if we use that and take the ability to use our will to do it, if we choose to do it, and we wait for God to work, we're never going to fail. And we can't afford to fail here in these last days. We can't afford to let these extremes in our life, whatever they may be, whether it's an action, whether it's a thought or a belief or whatever the case may be, we can't afford in these last times to be wasting time reaching those around us or letting people have a foothold in our life to say that we're not going to believe you because of this or that. We need to know God's word and use it correctly, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if we do that, we're never going to fall. As we mentioned a couple weeks ago, we want to be used by God. We should. We should desire that. We should desire to be the best that we can be for Him. But it's not going to be had if we don't take the time to get into God's word, study, to listen in the preaching, to listen to what God has for me, to be a hearer of the word. And as a side note, that just like we shouldn't look into God's word with already an idea of how it should be, that's the same way we're supposed to listen to preaching. Lord, what do you have for me? Whatever it may be, show me. Show me from this preaching. Take away any of my preconceived ideas. Lord, what do you have for me today? That's the kind of hearer we're supposed to be. And then going to God and say, show me where I'm wrong. I don't want to be wrong. I want to be complete. I want to be temperate in all that I do. I want to know your way, not my way. And if we do that, we don't have to be worried about falling. We don't have to be full of care that I'm doing something wrong here because I'm just following God. And we can have peace and joy when we do that. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word, and Lord, this